chose to come out this evening, hear the word God proclaimed. I want to thank Dave for that song. I want to thank my wife for suggesting the number. I had no song, but now I do. And I want to talk about the prodigal son tonight. And I want to talk about how we need to ask ourselves a question before we get to the end of this lesson. And the question is, which of the prodigal sons do we see ourselves as? There are two prodigal sons. Well, there are two sons. There are two sons. Prodigal is a waste, a wasteful son. So the first son, the younger son, fits this description. What I would like to do right now, though, is to just back up a little bit to why this parable was given. It was three parables given: a parable about a lost sheep, about a lost coin, and then about lost sons. It was two sons. Now, I've did a lot of research on this, and you know, the lost sheep, that's not a good thing. But it turned out good. It turned out good. They were able to celebrate because the sheep was found. And the lost coin, that was maybe an inheritance, and something that could hurt if you lose 10% of your income in this world. But the son, we're talking about a soul. We're talking about losing your soul. So that's why the question is very important. It's tough. It's a tough question that we must ask ourselves. Which son do we relate our lives to? Because we are all going in a direction. We all writing our own book, our own life book. And how we finish the book will determine where we end up in eternity. In the first two verses of chapter 15, it says, this man Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus, he tells three stories. As I said, the lost sheep, lost coin, and finally, the two lost sons. In Luke 15, starting at verse 11, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. Now this is not normal in that time. We have to picture where we are and what this son is asking. He's asking the father to give him his portion of goods that belong to him. But usually this is done when the father is dead. The father is dead when this is done. They have a text here. Mark 12, verse 42. Let's turn over to Mark 12, verse 42. No, Mark 12, verse 44. Sorry. So it's for all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, this to me describes the Father. Because who would give everything that they had of these three characters in this parable? Now, a person, let's continue reading. Verse 13 says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." I don't know about you, but I've heard it. When you are in trouble, it's usually as far away from any kind of help that you need. And that's what was happening with this younger son. You see, a person who does not have a relationship with God, or one who has known God, but has chosen to walk his own way, as some of us do sometimes, as many in the world do many of times. And we turn our back on that relationship. It's like this younger son. This younger son, he left home. He pursued pleasure. He lived life in the fast lane. He had no thought of anyone but himself. The younger son wanted to do as he pleased. He wanted to be free from the father's authority. He was an example of the tax collectors and sinners who came around Jesus to listen. He was an example. The tax collectors and sinners was an example of the young son. Continue reading in the parable. Verse 15, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country." I mean, this is how bad this had gotten for this young man. And the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And this is a little Jewish boy feeding swine. It sounds like an oxymoron. "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him anything." No man gave him anything. Now I'm sure that when he came to this far country, he had a pocket full of money. He was probably helping this person and that person, giving money out left and right. But it says here, "And no man gave him, and no man gave unto him." I said anything. That's not in there. "And no man gave unto him." So that means he had, no one gave him anything. And verse 17 says, and when he came, this is a very important verse right here in this lesson, in this parable. And when he came to himself, we've done that. We realize that we're not going the right way. We're not doing what we should do, what we need to do. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He was dying. He was dying. I've studied this deeply, and this is what they're talking about here. He was dying. Now, our brother Dave talked about pride this morning. I mean, this, it had to be some pride in him for him not to have gone home long ago. And I think that's what pride does to you. It stops you. It makes you think that you can do it by yourself. This is the attitude of many in the world today. Someone came to the store at Home Depot and started throwing things around. It was an attitude problem. It's an attitude. You see, they do not want to be confined to God's standards. God's standards are right. God's standards are true. And God's standards are helpful. But, you know, the rejection only robs them of their physical, intellectual, and spiritual gifts. Gifts that originally have came from God. And as a result, they become disillusioned, filled with grief and regret. Some experience degrading personal conditions. You could see this in the life of the prodigal son. He was living in a pig pen. He came. It was not his fault that it was a famine, but this is where you are in life. He was unable to overcome this famine because he was by himself. He had chosen to be by himself. And this is the situation that he put himself in. He was alone in a foreign land, and he had no help. You know, when you don't have any help, things are going to be really hard for you. I just don't understand how people make it in this world mentally without God because of the things that happen, and it just piles on you sometimes, one after another. This problem, then another problem, and it's just unimaginable. How can you overcome this? You know, that's why prayer is something that we need to keep close to our heart, that we need to practice. We need to get a prayer list with each one of our names on it, and we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our family members. We need to pray for those that we know stand in need of help. Let's continue reading. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I think about this, these verses in here. His father had to be praying that he came back home. And he had to believe that his prayers was being heard because he was watching. You know, this, you put yourself back at that time, it's not normal for a man of that stature to run and to fall on his son's neck that had left him and taken all his finances. But this is what happens in this verse. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This father was probably like some of us. Sometimes we pray for things and we get more than what we prayed for. Because you would think that the famine and the son being there with a lot of money, the son was never coming back, but he was back. And his father was probably in disbelief that he was back, but he knew that the Father in heaven could do it. He knew that. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it. This is verse 23. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The son wasted his whole inheritance on riotous living and ended up with no money, no friends, living in a pig pen before he came to his senses. Before he came to his senses. That sounds like a victory to me. Coming to his senses, it seems like just in time, before he died, he was dying. He came to his senses and he realized he would be better off being a servant in his father's house than where he was. He would be better off being a servant in his father's house than where he was. He just wanted to be a servant. He didn't want to be a son anymore. He just wanted to be a servant. So he started back home to ask for forgiveness. Saying right here is humbleness. You have to be humble. The son was coming back home to ask for forgiveness. He had to humble himself. We have to humble ourselves sometime. He was asking to be a servant. He wasn't asking to be a son. He was asking to be a servant. But his father saw him while he was still a long way off. He saw him when he was still a long way off. Our Father sees us a long way off. He can see that what our life is about. He can see it. And knowing that, we must get in step with what it takes to make heaven our home. So he started back home to ask for forgiveness, to be a servant. But his father saw him coming while he was still a long way off and ran to meet him. You know, I was reading, you know, if the father would not have gotten to him, there would have been villagers that would have gotten to him first. And they were not going to treat him as his father did. His father treated him with love. The villagers, well, they wouldn't have been nice. So, he ran back, but his father came to him while he was still a long way off, and he ran to meet him. The father ran to meet him. He greeted the filthy son joyously. The son had been living in a pig pen. He had no clothes. His clothes was tattered and had rags on. He gifted him. This is the father. He gifted him with some symbolic things that showed his love and complete restoration. He restored him back to what he was. Back to his son position. The father called for a big party to celebrate that his missing son was back. So this parable tells us of God's patience, his love, and forgiveness when one comes humbly to him. You see, not like the other stories, it wasn't over yet. Because then there was the older brother. And we have to be careful here, because God wants all to come back. When he says all, he means everyone under his voice. Everyone under my voice. He wants all to come and be saved. The older brother who had a wrong attitude. He had a wrong attitude. And sometimes we have a wrong attitude. But you see, the difference is we're striving to get to heaven. And this brother, this older brother, he's not there yet. You have to put yourself in position before you can do anything. And you see, the older brother had the wrong attitude, and he did not rejoice that his brother returned and was restored. He really, from what I was reading, he didn't want the brother to come back. He didn't want him to come back. And that is the wrong way to think. That is the wrong way to think. We are happy when people come to the Lord. It just tells us that we're doing the right thing. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. So, You know, because the older brother felt that he was superior. He was self-righteous. And he felt that he deserved more than the younger brother. And you know, he did have more. He had more money. The younger brother only got one third of the money. So the more that he's talking about, I don't understand. You know, people want something that they already have sometimes. But let's continue through the parable. Luke 15, verses 25 to 32. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound." And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The older brother did not have the father's heart. He did not have the interest of the father's heart in mind. The older brother represents those who are a part of God's family but fail to fully understand God's compassion and love. The older brother can represent those who have a form of religion and outwardly appear to live for God, but inwardly they are separated from him and do not promote God's purposes. God's purpose is for all to come to him and not perish. This parable causes us to ask some tough questions. And I stated that at the beginning of this lesson, which brother do we associate with most? And before you answer that, I tell you, I looked at my situation, and all of us could be either one of the brothers. I mean, but what do we do from this point forward? What do we do from this point forward? If it is the younger brother that you associate with, he came back and he was restored and he continues to walk with God. If it's the older brother, come to the party now. Come now to the party. Come to Jesus now. Can't wait. We don't know what the future holds, so we need to do it now. Because Jesus never tells us in the parable whether the older son went into the party, we have no idea. We have no idea. But what we do know is that the younger son is forgiven and the older son didn't think he needed forgiveness. And that's my lesson today, brothers and sisters. That's my lesson. The question now is, what do I do to be saved? What do I do? You hear the gospel. John 20, verses 30 and 31, Romans 10, 17. You believe the gospel. Hebrews 11, 6, Romans 1, 16. You repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, Acts 17, 30. You confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 10. Matthew 10, 32. You be baptized. You be baptized. Mark 6, 16. 16, 16. Acts 2, 38. You remain faithful unto and until death. 2 Peter 1, 11. Revelations 2:10, Revelations 22:14. You're here today, and you haven't came to the Lord. Come now. Come to the party. Come to the party. I've never stated it that way. Come to the party today. Come to the Lord. Your life will never be the same. Heaven will be your home. And you can live eternally with God. If you walk the guilty distance away, come and renew your relationship with God. This lesson is for you. Come forward. And have a seat on the front pew as we sing our song of invitation.
Oh, do not let the word depart.